Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground.
Touchdown, Arizona!
That was beautiful!
Oh, my goodness!
The latest news and notes on the Arizona Cardinals from the guys who cover the team.
Somebody open the front door! Stevens Howling's coming in!
Oh, baby!
Wells runs over a defender, knocks his helmet off, and gets into the end zone for a touchdown!
From Cardinals headquarters in Tempe.
Adrian Wilson just ate his liver with fava beans and a fine Chianti.
Touchdown!
This is football at its finest.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
So it's been so long since we last did a Cardinals Underground edition here.
They redesigned the NFL Network mic flag on me. What's going on with that? And they didn't even consult me on this. My goodness, not even, no sign-off, no input from yours truly, Paulie, NFL Network mic flag right from the beginning?
Actually, I thought you were going to say it's been so long that Wolf wasted away to nothing, and so he just disappeared.
Let's not be absurd. Okay, let's have a shred of credibility here on Cardinals Underground on azcardinals.com. Yes, Paul Calvisi, Darren Erman. You know what? We're just going at it. We got so much to talk about. We got to run the no huddle, and honestly, his cardio isn't up. He just can't keep up right now.
That's
so
right.
We're just going to go right into it. What's first and foremost for you right now? We're in the midst of OTAs, so I don't know. What's your biggest takeaway so far here off-season 2012?
It's been something that the biggest thing I've noticed, to be honest, Paul, is the fact that there's been so many guys around. I mean, until you get to minicamp itself, the veteran minicamp, that's the only mandatory thing in the offseason. All the conditioning stuff, all the OTAs, that's all technically voluntary. Now, we can argue the semantics of that, of course, but it's been a stark realization to me, especially in the aftermath of last year's lockout when there was nobody around here, how many guys have been around. I mean, there was a day recently where I was down in the locker room, and it's just a day. But now that the rookies are around and there's extra rookies because of the 90-man roster, the locker room was just overflowing on a day that it was just a random Tuesday in the offseason. It just really hit home to me, A, how empty everything was last year, and B, how much these guys, I do think, like being around. I know guys want their time off and everything, but I think ultimately these guys are creatures of habit. I think they like being able to come in, spend a few hours in the morning and early afternoon at the facility. They get to go home. They still have plenty of free time, but that's what struck me is how many guys have been here.
You know, if you notice, I got a little pancake makeup still that I'm rocking here because we just recorded the latest edition, the first inaugural edition of Season in Focus, Arizona Cardinals 2012, right? It's going to be on after the Indy 500. And anyway, there's some great video of Larry Fitzgerald cheering on Dan Williams going through some of the drills.
Yes.
And not to get all cheesy here, because we know it's a grown man's league and everyone's competing for a job and a position and a paycheck. But when you got Larry Fitzgerald in some of these voluntary off-season workouts, not OTAs, not mini camps, and there he is, and he's really into it, and he's really encouraging other guys. You can't tell me there isn't a trickle-down effect of at least accountability where guys feel like they should be there if the team superstar is there.
I totally agree. You remind me of something that I went through a few weeks ago. I was out at the stadium actually covering a charity event with Adrian Wilson, and we were still 2-3 weeks away from the start of the strength training start, which was later this year than normal. And I was talking to Adrian at one point, and I said, "So are y'all ready to get back?" And he looked at me and he kind of smiled and he goes, "No." I've been doing this for over 10 years. He goes, "I don't need to go back. I know what I'm doing." He goes, "I really don't." Then he kind of paused and he's like, "But you know what?" He goes, "I'm going to be there." He goes, "They need me there. The young guys need me there, and I need to be there." And you know what? He's been here. And going back to the day you mentioning Fitz, you know, he went to Malaysia and missed a couple days because, you know, he's helping kids who can't hear get hearing aids and doing that kind of work, which is obviously very important. But when he's been in town, he's been here. And that day that I talked about, I think he might have been because he was in Malaysia. You know, I didn't take an exact count of everybody, but it's very possible out of the 89 or 90 guys on the roster at that point, he might have been the only one not here. And I knew where he was. I think I saw every single other guy here. And to me, I think that says a lot for this team. You know, how it translates, we don't know. I think a lot of teams are like that these days. But the bottom line is, for here, I think it's an important thing, and I don't think it's something they really have to fight for. I think the guys want to be here.
All right, so let's do a little rapid fire here. All right, I'm going to name some names. You tell me their status right now coming off injuries last season. Sort of like the way you start every Ken Wisner press conference, right, with the media.
There you go.
You're Coach Dub right now. Okay. Dan Williams, what do we know?
Dan Williams, he's been here. I mean, if I had to name one guy that I've seen here almost every day since the season ended, he would be one of the few. Because he's rehabbing that broken arm.
Do we know where he is with that arm in training camp and whether he's...
Last time I talked... Training camp should be no problem. Okay. I don't know how much he's going to get to do in mini camp. The last time I really got to talk to him a lot, which has been a while. It's been a couple months now. But the last time I got a chance to talk to him about the arm, he was still very much trying to get strength back in it. When he first had the surgery and when the offseason first happened, he didn't have hardly any strength in it at all. Which is weird when you're talking about a 320-pound guy plus guy.
But it was a grisly arm injury. Let's not sugarcoat it.
I've been told that basically it wasn't like a break. I mean, it was a break because that's what they said. I've been told basically the bone basically disintegrated.
He
hit it on Stuart Bradley's helmet and it disintegrated is what I was kind of told. So
okay. He didn't put on 100 pounds.
No,
like a lot
and
of
in fact,
fear.
At that time. And this is, again, 2 months ago. At that time, he was already at the weight they wanted him to. Now, again, you've got to adjust that weight. He's got to get stronger. He's got to do some stuff. But the weight's in the right place. And, again, I've seen him almost every day. He's working out on the treadmill. I think he's in a good place right now.
Okay. Greg Toler.
Toler, same thing, coming off the ACL surgery that he blew out in the preseason last year. He's out there running around. He's not doing everything yet. It's one of those things where ACL, you're going to take it easy to a certain point. I know he's anxious to get back out there. He's anxious to get a chance to be one of the number one cornerbacks again with Patrick Peterson. I think they're going to be smart with him going through the offseason. I think he might do a little bit of stuff in OTAs and minicamp. I don't think he'll do everything. The idea is having him ready for training camp, and that's the thing everybody's got to remember, and I think that's kind of the pace he's on.
Okay, offensive side of the ball, the two running backs. How about Beanie Wells? Let's start with Beanie, the offseason knee surgery. May have impacted his golf swing I saw recently at the Cardinals charity event. But how is he to play football?
Going to the golf thing, I'm not so sure he can blame the knee on that. But, I talked to him the other day. You know, it's funny. You talk to Beanie, you talk to Ryan Williams. Ryan Williams will talk to you all day about his knee injury and his rehab. Beanie has always been the kind of guy, he'd rather not talk about his injuries. He'd rather kind of keep it, you know, he'd
it's
rather
true.
Just come
right.
back.
He's a man of few words on his injuries.
Doesn't particularly want, but he gave me a couple questions about it. Basically, he didn't have a timetable when I talked to him recently about when he was going to be back. His big thing is, I want to be ready for training camp. You know, what kind of surgery he had, you know, where he is exactly, he didn't want to tell me, probably didn't want to get into it, but he didn't really have any doubts he'll be ready for training camp, and it'll be interesting to see how much he's able to do over these next month, whether he's doing much or how that works.
Okay. Even in the relaxed atmosphere of Cardinals Underground here on azcardinals.com, and you know, Jim Omohundro isn't holding up like one of those producer cards or anything, but we got to talk about the quarterback spot. It's been at least 4 or 5 minutes without talking quarterback right now. So the recent news, if you want to call it that, you tell me, Ken Wisenhunt going on the Rome TV show and basically reiterating, it is a competition.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily Kevin Cobb's job to lose either. Is that a takeaway?
Well, it is a takeaway, but I'll be honest, I never thought much different. I mean,
Even with Cobb's status and tenure in the league, I know it's not great and it's not long, but and then considering the financial picture, not only what they're paying him, but what they gave up to get him.
Here's the thing. I never thought much different that's what Ken Wisenhunt was going to say. You know, what's being said and how it actually plays out, let's see what happens. I do think that this is going to be a legit competition. I do think that if John Skelton outplays Kevin Cobb, they will go with John Skelton. I do question in the short term of the offseason and training camp, and given how that all plays out and how the preseason plays out, I question whether John Skelton will outplay Kevin Cobb. John Skelton played decently last year. There's no question about it. He absolutely won games. But you and I both know, and I come from the thing, and I like John as a person. I like Kevin as a person, but I like John a lot as a person. But realistically, he struggled arguably as much as Kevin Cobb did last year when you isolate their play alone. The difference was you had a defense that was not giving up anything the second half of the season, and they left the door open for John Skelton to win some games late. And I know there was a couple chances for Kevin Cobb to do that early in the year, and he didn't. And I will give John Skelton all the credit in the world for that. But
and the caliber of the schedule, let's face it. I mean, Cobb went against the Ravens and the Steelers.
And that's part of it, too. I want to see how this plays out. I have an open mind to the point where I think John Skelton can win this job. But I am also not one of these people that is closed-minded to the fact that Kevin Cobb could win this job. I'm not going to sit here and hate. And it's funny that you bring up the money giving Kevin Cobb an advantage, because in my opinion, I think there's a lot of fans out there who look at Kevin Cobb's money and they hold that against Kevin Cobb, thinking John Skelton should be the guy, because almost in some parts, because all things being equal, I'd rather go to the cheaper guy because of how he's playing. And I,
well, maybe they're thinking because he's a fifth round pick, maybe he's not getting as serious a look. But if you know Ken Whisenhunt, you know that's not true. Because I mean, here's a man in his first training camp who cut a third round draft pick. I mean, yeah, here's a guy who, remember, if you hit rewind in 2008, you know, Leinart was obviously the number 10 pick in the draft, and Kurt Warner was supposedly the washed up old guy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's no doubt that if there is a decisive winner, no matter who it is, that guy will be the starter, in my mind. What's intriguing to me about John Skelton is the fact that if you talk to the coaches, they'll keep coming back to one thing. He's never really had an offseason himself.
Yeah.
I mean, Cobb obviously didn't have the benefit of an offseason in this offense a year ago, coming from the Eagles, even missed the first 4 or 5 days of camp because of those arcane rules and everything else going on. Okay, and I think what you realize with Kevin Cobb, if you really get to the bottom of it, you can agree or disagree, the transition from the Eagles offense to the Cardinals offense was much greater than anyone anticipated. They're the DNA of the two offenses are so different that it made his transition much more prolonged. And, you know, to me, unless we saw the second half of that Dallas game and the win, I would not be that bullish on Kevin Cobb. But what I saw in that Dallas game does give me great intrigue going into this training camp, just like the prospect of what John Skelton did, especially in the fourth quarter of games in his win-loss record. And now you add to the fact that he'll get serious reps and tutoring as a guy who's in the mix instead of just a four-string fringe rookie quarterback or someone dealing with a lockout. I think it is a full-blown, legitimate 50-50 competition.
I agree with you. I don't, on a personal level, from what I've seen as we're just getting into this offseason stuff, I don't have a favorite. I'm not thinking this guy is, you know, you strip everything away and you have quarterback A and quarterback B. I don't have a guy who I'm thinking he's got an edge. The one thing I will take into account when you go into the offseason, especially, not quite training camp, things can change a little bit in training camp, especially once you get to preseason games. Bigger picture, Ken Whisenhunt made this point during rookie minicamp, and I wholeheartedly agree with this. You're not winning, and I don't care who it is, you're not winning jobs in OTAs, and you're really not winning them in minicamp. You're just not. There's not enough contact. It's not football per se.
It's like golf, though. Can you lose? You can lose a golf tournament in round one. You can't win it.
And that's kind of where I'm going with this. You could lose it if you play really poorly.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't want to make the mistakes. When I look, going back to the quarterbacks, when I look at the games of those two guys, to me, in the prism of offseason, not a lot of hitting, everything, to me, what's Kevin Cobb's biggest fault, let's say, right now, or the biggest thing he's got to get better at, for my relatively naive football-wise eyes? It's the pocket presence. It's finding where you got to go right away.
Ding. Totally agreed.
Okay. That is something that I don't think you can see unless you're in a game situation, an actual game situation.
Very good point.
You're not going to see that in OTAs.
You won't even see in the preseason then, because there's vanilla defenses.
Okay. So to me, and I will see if you agree with me, what is John Skelton? To me, John Skelton's biggest issue right now, and he's got a couple he needs to work on, but his biggest thing for me, accuracy. That's me.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that can show up in OTAs, because unfortunately,
absolutely,
some of John's accuracy issues aren't just because of pressure. He just misses. That is something that if he gets the yips in the offseason, I think that could hurt him a little bit going into training camp. Now, we'll see. And maybe he'll work on that enough. And I'm not saying it will absolutely happen. I personally think is what you're going to find after OTAs and minicamp is we're going to go into training camp and we're going to be the exact same place the start of training camp as we are right now at the beginning of offseason work, right, which is even Steven.
In the NFL, it's get it done or you are done. I mean, that's just one way of saying NFL not for long. We know that. So at this point, with the addition of Michael Floyd to the offense, are all the excuses removed for the quarterback position? Is it either somebody establishes themselves as the starter in the future or the Cardinals go in a different direction after this coming season at QB? I mean, isn't
I think
all,
that's a great question.
It's all right there to me. You know, you look at this, I mean, there's no excuses whatsoever unless you want to cite the uncertainty of the right side of the offensive line.
See, but I won't, because I was going to come at this from the other side of it, which is people want to talk about adding the second receiver. They want to talk about where's the tackles and how is Levi going to be the left tackle? He's terrible, blah, blah, blah. I will always come back to the quarterback. I've said this in when we've talked a million times, I've written it a million times. The right tackle, the left tackle, important. I'm not going to deny it. I'm not going to deny if they get another good playmaker at receiver, and if they with Floyd have upgraded over an Andre Robertson early to set, that won't help. I absolutely think that's true. But if you don't have the quarterback play, the rest of it is moot. And I believe that if you have a good enough quarterback, that it completely, I don't want to say marginalizes, but it completely lessens the import of who's your left tackle and who's your right tackle and who your number two receiver is.
It can mask other weaknesses.
Anquan Boldin in 2009 missed some key games. I'll totally remember the Chicago Bears game. We go to the Chicago game. Anquan can't play. Kurt Warner throws 5 touchdown passes and only 2 went to Larry Fitzgerald, and you're throwing Steve Breston and Ben Patrick and Anthony Becht, for God's sake, got a touchdown catch. And it's because they had great quarterback play and they didn't have a great left tackle. They had Mike Gandy. And it's just, it frustrates me to a certain point. And I don't want to take away what I do, because I don't want to take away things to talk about, because I need lots of stuff to talk about. And it can't just be the quarterback, but it comes back to the quarterback.
All right, well, take a deep breath, because I got more O-line questions for you.
Got a little wolf revved up there. I mean,
you know, go ahead, get a paper bag to hyperventilate in. We continue with the O-line here on Cardinals Underground. I had a long conversation with Russ Grimm, and you know, he kept it real. He kept it very honest. And he just said, you know, hey, Levi, was he better in the second half than the first half? Absolutely. But we asked Levi to do a lot more than a lot of left tackles in the league. You know, so I thought I'd present that viewpoint, because a lot of times, you know, well, no times is Levi ever there to defend himself.
No.
All right. And
he's not going to anyways.
He wouldn't say it anyway. Mm-mm. You know, the Cardinals do put him on an island at times, and more often than a lot of teams, yes. You know, did his play improve? Absolutely. Now you look at the right side. And, you know, I talked to Russ Grimm again after the rookie minicamp, and he kind of gave me the classic, as you might expect as a former member of the Hogs and the Hall of Famer. Coach, how much can you tell us so far? Oh, nothing, until they get their pads on. You know, so, but
that was a really good Russ impression,
but,
by the way.
Bobby Massey, you know, and just the fact that you have 3 O-linemen through the draft. I just got done talking with Wolf, and he thinks there's going to be a lot of fights, more than usual. There are going to be fights in camp because you got 3 guys, 3 lower-level draft picks, who I think they have a legitimate shot at making the team. You know, the team wants them to make the squad, but they're going to start mixing it up with D linemen, and Wolf thinks it'll get really feisty in Flagstaff this year because of that dynamic.
It would be really interesting for me, and the coaches will say, well, that happens, and probably down deep, they would probably love that.
So what do you say to people who have concerns about the O-line right now, and how much do you think that the draft picks can contribute right away? Is that realistic?
Well, let me take your first question, which is, I have no problem with people having concerns with the offensive line. I think they're fair concerns about the offensive line. And let's face it, this team had concerns about the offensive line because they talked about doing things and fixing it up and making it better. On the subject of Levi, I will say this. Does he need to play better? Does he need to be more consistent? I think he does. I think he's admitted that in the past. I think it says something about this team that they let him hit free agency, and they could have let him walk away, and instead they wanted him back. And you can argue all day about it, but it's not just Russ Grimm making this call or Ken Whisenhunt. It's a lot of people upstairs, which includes Michael and Bill Bidwell, who are willing to sign the millions of dollars checks over him to say, we have seen enough of him in a good way that we want him back, and we want to pay him this kind of money. And they're the people that know him the best, and so I think that means something, that they wanted to bring him back when they could have let him walk away. That has to say something. Now, whether these other young guys can come in and make an impact, we're going to find out. I think they I think they like the idea of what it could be. Again, I look across the league, Paul, and I see an okay Packers offense line. Not a great Packers offense line. An okay Packers offensive line helping an offense be great and going to a 15-1 record because of the quarterback. But it wasn't a great offensive line. The New York Giants offensive line was not great in any respect last year, and they won a Super Bowl. The Patriots offensive line is okay. The Colts offensive line was not good, not great. It was okay, Peyton Manning's last few years, and they were still winning 10 games and winning the division. If you get the right quarterback play, I think the offensive line can be good. You need to keep plugging guys in. You need to find guys. I mean, Joe Thomas is a Pro Bowler, and the Cleveland Browns offense stinks. Why is that?
You're right. No, that's a great point. You know, the one thing I do like about the three guys, they all started, 40-plus games in college, right? So, you know, that combined with five preseason games, you know, hey, maybe there's a legitimate shot. You get some guys contributing.
And I do think offensive line is one of those places where you can plug and play a younger guy, especially if there's only one young guy, maybe. I mean, if Massey starts on the right tackle and he's got Adam Snyder 7 years in the league and Lyle Sendline 5 years in the league and Darren College 6 years in the league or whatever it is, and Levi 5 years in the league, you've got a bunch of veterans around him. I think that's easy to bring in the package and let it work.
See, I think Massey has a great shot because you know what? It's not like you have somebody playing right tackle who has 5 years of experience and chemistry right next to Adam Snyder. You're going to have a new right tackle, right guard combo regardless. So I think the coaches are more willing to put a rookie in there at this stage because, you know, sure, Jeremy Bridges is a veteran and we know he's proven, but it's not like he has any proven chemistry with Adam Snyder right
That's
now.
That's fair.
So I think, you know. Let me ask you about this. One last takeaway from rookie minicamp there, Darren. Jamel Fleming.
Yeah.
Did he look like a guy who belonged? Because if there was one guy out there who looked like, yep, he's ready for the NFL, it was the third-round rookie out of Oklahoma, the corner.
I will say that with the caveat that he's playing cornerback against guys he was drafted ahead of, other than Michael Floyd, and he's facing down two quarterbacks that were drafted well after him. I mean, he hasn't.
I guess I just mean the way he carried himself.
Oh, I agree
you know,
with
the
that.
Look, you know.
I agree with
maybe
that.
Maybe he's the all airport team, you know. I'm not sure. But
no,
you know.
No. I agree. He's got a confidence that works. He's the body, he looks like a NFL cornerback. There's no question. I like what I've seen of him. I like everything about him. But again, he's a third-round pick. He's not the fifth overall pick like Patrick Peterson. And we saw the struggles Patrick Peterson had at cornerback. I don't want to all of a sudden jump out and say this guy is going to be Aeneas Williams, although I hope he is.
All right, so what else? What else is a takeaway, a headline from the offseason so far? What are you looking forward to most in training camp that we haven't already talked about? I mean, how about Ryan Lindley, the sixth-round quarterback? What do you think? Well, you know, is all of a sudden Rich Bartel's job in serious question, that spot on the roster?
Well, I think it's fair to say it's in serious question, but I don't think it's a lock to say he's going to lose it either.
Practice squad for Lindley or no?
I don't think he can be there because I think he's the kind of guy that somebody will want to grab him up as a third quarterback if he hits the open market. That's at this early stage, that's what I would think. And it's going to be tough to get him through waivers and get him onto your practice squad. There's going to be a tough job there, but I think Rich Bartel is, you know, at one point Rich chided me earlier this offseason about how all the writers, every time we talk about the quarterback battle, how come it's always Skelton and Cobb, Skelton and Cobb, Skelton and Cobb? How come
I like
I'm
that.
Never included
I like it.
In that?
Yes.
And, you know, and he was half joking. I mean, yeah. Rich is not dense. He knows what the situation right. is, but he goes, "Don't worry, Darren." He goes, I'm gonna prove myself to you. I'll prove myself. I'll earn my ink. And we'll see what happens, and you like seeing that.
Hey, you could probably argue he had the best understanding of the offense a year ago as a third-string quarterback.
Absolutely. And there's a reason why you like having him absolutely in the locker room and on the roster. I think he's really smart. I think he helps. But again, at some point, you got to get a guy in the pipeline, and now all of a sudden John Skelton's not the young guy in the pipeline anymore. Now John Skelton's a guy who started, and he's the veteran backup or possibly the veteran starter. It might be time to plug in a new guy, a young guy to start grooming, and that's what Lindley may be.
All right, last question. Can we learn anything from OTAs? You know, we mentioned you can't win a job. Maybe you can lose a job. At least you can gain more reps or the attention of the coaches. overall, what can you learn? You know, as, and fans can't watch, right? It's just the media.
No. The only one that's open OTA or minicamp wise, there'll be a minicamp practice on June 13th that'll be open to the public at University of Phoenix Stadium. But that's all the info I have right now. We don't know exactly what that'll be. Fan Fest that we normally had at the other minicamp weekends, but of course the rules have changed. Veterans can't be made to practice on a weekend anymore, so they had to juggle some things. So more
helmets, no shells, no pads, right?
That's just helmets, no shells, not supposed to have any contact. I don't think you can learn a ton. I mean, if a guy gets hurt, obviously that makes a huge impact on your season, but you're not going to go. I mean, I have people all the time with the general, well, how does this guy look? Well, how does this guy look? Well, how does this guy look? With all due respect, I mean, Russ Grimm's right. I mean, how do you know? The blocker, the upfront guys aren't doing anything that resembles real football. You can kind of watch the guarding and the seven-on-sevens, but even then, there's no threat of a rush on the quarterback. There's no threat of a run when you're – I mean, it's tough to really get a good sense of – I mean, these guys are installing – game or not installing game plans, installing the playbook. They're installing, you know, the plays so guys understand it. They're running around. They're trying to get their feet underneath them of what they're going to need to do. But this is all a run up to training camp, so they're not sitting for 7 months not knowing what to do. And I just think gleaning too much out of this is a major mistake. You pay attention to injuries. You pay attention to the guys who are coming back and how they kind of look. You don't want anybody looking terrible. But even if a guy looks great, you know, I mean, Steven Williams looked really good a couple of years ago in training camp and OTAs. And, you know, what is that? It doesn't necessarily translate.
You're right. And then a year later, Andre Roberts looked horrendous in training camp. And he was, you know, arguably, you know, the second best receiver by the end of the season, right? By December.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it was okay. Yeah, you can't learn much from the OTAs. It's probably all about the players learning the system and, you know, learning what it's all about if you're a young guy. So, okay, that's good. All right. So we'll see you at the OTAs and then, I guess, at training camp and, you know, Canton, Ohio. So you got a reservation set for dinner there. You're going to hook us up there, Darren? You big in Canton, Ohio?
I don't know much about Canton right now. I just want to get through I got vacation coming. I want to do that first.
Keep your focus. That's keep your focus over there. Okay. All right. For Darren Urban and Jim Omohundro, I'm Paul Calvisi. Yet another edition of Cardinals Underground and azcardinals.com.